Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Friday edition of the show. We are headed to the end of the week. A lot of things going on this weekend. Of course, IU basketball on Saturday. They play at Minnesota. It's an afternoon game, 2 o'clock the tip-off, which means pregame coverage begins here on the Big X at 1 o'clock on Saturday, and it's obviously a big game. Every game the rest of the way for this team is a game that they need to win. They need to do something to get themselves eligible for the NCAA tournament, which is an outside possibility, I think, if you're realistic with things at this point. But at Minnesota, Minnesota's, what, in the middle of the conference? They've had some good wins. They've had some bad losses. They're a team that has had its own struggles as well, but at times has bounced back and played well. And I think they're on that fringe right now of an NCAA tournament team as well because of some earlier wins in the non-conference. And a big part of that for Minnesota, like Indiana, even though I think the Hoosiers are farther out and have a much tougher road, they've got to win some games like this Indiana game for themselves to be eligible in for the NCAA tournament. So postseason implications definitely on the line in this game for Minnesota, and you could make the argument that potentially for Indiana as well. So a big game on Saturday and Indiana on the road, and it's never easy on the road to play, as we know, in the Big Ten Conference. But IU basketball on tap this weekend, a number of high school games. We've got the pairings stuff for the boys tournament on Sunday night. The IHSA program is from 5 to 7. We have a local program where we'll talk with coaches from 7 to 9 p.m. on Sunday night, so you'll want to join us for that. We'll talk with a lot of area coaches, a couple from outside of our immediate area as well, but we wanted to give you a real good feel for some of the sectional tournaments this year. And joining us on the program will be Christian Academy coach Steve Kerberg, Lanesville coach Michael Miller. We'll also hear in Class 2A from Sean Smith at Providence and Brian McEwen at Clarksville. In 3A, Silver Creek's Brandon Hoffman and Brownstown, a big challenger if there is one in that sectional to Silver Creek. And we'll hear from Brownstown coach David Benner on Sunday night. Also in 4A, Sturgeon from Floyd Central, Luce from Jeffersonville, whose team was a winner last night over Ballard, and Shannon from New Albany, all will join us in our two-hour pairing special here on the Big X Sports Radio. One of the most fun broadcasts that we have every year. Lee Kelly will be with me in studio. We also start the show with a really special announcement from Kinsey Winstead. If you're a fan of high school basketball and you follow the local recruiting stuff, boys and girls in the area, you'll want to hear what Kinsey and I have to say, and he'll join me right at the top of the program on Sunday night with a special announcement. We thought we'd use the interest in the pairings and the postseason coming up to make an announcement that I think that high school basketball fans will enjoy and appreciate here in the area. So join us for that as well. That's all Sunday night once the IHSA pairing show is over. Again, the pairing show is 5 to 7, and our special program on Sunday night is 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the Big X Sports Radio. I know one of the interesting things on that pairing show is that we do, we get the local fans and coaches and listeners, I know, with us on Sunday nights this time of year, but we get a great audience from around the state, people checking in on Southern Indiana. They stream us online or on their mobile phone app, however they may do it, and check in, but it's always interesting to hear interact with folks from other parts that are checking out our local sectionals here in this area. As you can imagine, we had a lot of that going on with New Albany and Romeo Langford over the last few seasons, with them being at the top of 4A and winning a state championship and always being a contender in 4A. And we've got some teams, I'm sure, that Silver Creek and others they'll be checking on as well. So glad to do that Sunday, and hope that you can make some time Sunday evening as you close out your weekend to join us with our tournament pairings special. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. First segment today, we have our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Today on our headlines, we'll talk about the Jeffersonville Ballard game last night. Red Devils had to fight at the end. They had to keep pushing ahead to win a game. We'll talk some about that. We'll also give you the high school schedule on a very busy Friday night and Saturday night forthcoming as well. And we'll take a look at a couple other notes, including IU baseball. They get underway today to open the season later this afternoon. So we'll talk about that also as well today. That's a look at, let me tell you the other segments before we close this out here. Segment two, we'll have Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Of course, Jared is always with us after the IU games for the Assembly Call IU postgame show, but he also joins me Friday for a segment on this program. We'll do that here coming up to preview the IU-Minnesota game and talk other IU basketball headlines today. And then later in the program, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins me. Lots of basketball, some recruiting stuff forthcoming with Kyle today on the program as well. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. It's time for our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. And last night, a big Thursday night game, Jeffersonville hosting Ballard last night, and the Red Devils, at least for a few moments at different portions of the game, looked like they might run off with things against a Ballard team that was missing its best player and is just not as good as your normal Ballard team. They got an eighth grader starting for this Ballard team. That's obviously something you don't see in Indiana basketball. But a young team, a little different Ballard team, especially with their best player out. In fact, they're 18-11. That's not usual for Ballard. They're normally a 1-2-3-4-5 maximum loss program, despite the fact that they always play a schedule that sometimes they go to Florida and other places because of lax rules in the state of Kentucky. But nonetheless, they came ready to give Jeffersonville a challenge last night. They were able to trim the game down late to as little as a two-point lead for Jeffersonville. And a big part of that was they found a way to deny the ball going to Jacob Jones, the distributor and often scorer as well for the Red Devils. Last night, Jeff got the win. They improved to 14-5 overall. Balanced scoring again for the Red Devils. Devin Franklin actually led the team with 14 points. Trey Coleman and freshman Will Lovings-Watts each had 13 points as well. Jacob, I left off the leading scorer, Jacob Jones, he led the team with 20 points. Darren Starks with 12 points as well. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players in double figures for the Red Devils. That's a good sign when you've got that many scorers who can reach double digits for your team. And Jeffersonville now 14-5 on the season. Crazy to see an eighth grader play. You hear about it taking place fairly often in the state of Kentucky. Of course, they can play as seventh and eighth graders, varsity basketball, JV basketball, freshman basketball, if you so want. That's the rule. And the player last night had 12 points in the game against Jeff. His name's Caleb Glenn. He's got some length and height to him for just an eighth grader, and he sure looks like he'll go on to have a great high school career. And Coach Renner called him last night somewhere between a mid-level to a high-major Division I prospect, depending on how he develops over the next couple of years. But Coach Renner, I asked him about the eighth grade thing last night, just chatting before the game. Of course, Chris, the longtime coach at Ballard in Louisville, he said as far as eighth graders go, they have to be a school within your corporation, within your area as well. So I said, does the kid still play middle school ball, or do they bypass the opportunity to play middle school and play varsity only? He said a lot of times the kid over the years when this has happened will still play for the middle school, so they don't miss out on that experience, but they'll often miss some practices or occasionally some games so they can go up with the high school program as well. So an interesting situation to have the opportunity as a 7th or 8th grader to not just play middle school ball, but maybe to be bumped up and play freshman or to play JV or varsity. And I asked Coach Renner, I said, you know, if this kid or any kid over the year that's done this at Ballard or at any school in the state of Kentucky, does that mean they're locked in? Do you forfeit? Because there's a lot of movement in Louisville, obviously. You don't necessarily have to live by the school you want to go. It's like a magnet type system. And he said, no, if you get moved up to the varsity program, it does not lock you in to attending that school for high school either. So just a crazy rule. I'm sure some coaches in favor of it, some coaches probably hate it. But you hear, especially in the county schools out in the state of Kentucky, where very often a really good middle school player will get the opportunity to play varsity ball. And often some of the great scorers in the state of Kentucky got their start when they have big numbers over their career because they were able to play as a 7th or 8th grader and pad those stats a little bit. In addition, they play 30 games, which I knew that was 30 regular season games. Chris Renner last night said if a team in Kentucky made it all the way to the state championship game at Rupp Arena, you would play 39 games in a season. That is just unbelievable. Number of games for a high school team to play. I can't imagine being a coach or on one of those coaching staffs with all the scouting that goes on in Indiana. There's no way those guys can scout at the same level that a lot of the Indiana coaches do. But I thought those were some interesting side notes last night from the Jeffersonville-Ballard game in my conversation with Chris Renner before the game. Also, high school basketball tonight, really good slate of games. Christian Academy's at Evansville Day. Clarksville is at Borden. Corden is at Silver Creek. Big game tonight for Floyd Central. This is their senior night. Louisville St. X is at Floyd Central tonight. St. X always a solid program. I don't know if they can hang in there with the Highlanders and what they have to offer this year with Kobe Barnes leading the way and a lot of other good players and seniors as well. But big game tonight for the Highlanders to close things out at home. New Albany has a tough game as well. They will go on the road at Bedford, and everyone knows Bedford a very, very tough place to play. So a big Hoosier Hills Conference game for the Bulldogs tonight in advance of the sectional. New Washington is at South Central. Providence is at North Harrison. Rock Creek will play at Shaw Memorial. Salem will play at Charlestown, and West Washington will play at Henryville tonight. That's a look at some of the area teams in action tonight. On Saturday, Brownstown is at Providence, Crothersville's at Henryville, Evansville Central at New Albany, Floyd Central is at Bloomington North, and I should point out that both Floyd on Saturday, New Albany next Friday will be playing Bloomington North, who has a 13-4 record right now. So that's a quality game to close out the season and find out where you're at against another 4A school before the sectional takes place. So look at the weekend schedule there. Some good high school games this weekend, no question about it. One other note, IU baseball, they open the 2019 season today. Later this afternoon, they'll begin a 3-game series at Memphis. And on the IU roster this year with a local connection is Jeffersonville's Gabe Bierman. And, of course, Gabe played for Derek Ellis at Jeffersonville High School. He was a 4-year letter winner there, all-conference honorable mention his senior year, broke the single-season high school strikeout record at Jeffersonville and tied the record for most strikeouts in one game. He had 15 strikeouts in a game, won a sectional championship his senior year, committed to IU as a freshman in high school, so it seems like he should have been at IU already now, but he's just been committed for a long time and obviously getting ready now to begin what should be a really great college opportunity for him. And also of note with that IU baseball team on the IU coaching staff now under a new head coach is Scott Rowland. The Jasper standout went on to be, and not just a baseball standout, but a basketball star as well, went on to play Major League Baseball also. So interesting times at IU baseball. And I've enjoyed tracking the Hoosiers on the baseball field the last couple of years. Had a great relationship with former coach Chris Lemonis, who would come on the program from time to time, and we'll try to get the new coach with us occasionally as well. But as we get out of basketball season, we're just now entering what I call the real heart of the season, with postseason stuff getting ready to go, both high school coming up, college after that. We do fill some of the gaps with a little baseball talk, and IU baseball will be one of those things we'll focus on later this spring and into the early portion of the summer. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk IU Minnesota and IU basketball in general with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing, after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is with us always on Fridays, presented by Coffee Crossing. Brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy our warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery. You can stay inside or use our convenient drive-through, Coffee Crossing. Jared, great to have you with us. A day out from the IU Minnesota game. Of course, still a lot of negatives surrounding this IU basketball team, but let's start with some positives. What are the keys that IU needs to do, needs to bring to the barn on Saturday for this IU team to come out victorious with a road win at Minnesota in the Big Ten Conference?
Well, I think a couple things are obvious. You know, Indiana needs to shoot well, and these are two of the worst shooting teams in the Big Ten. So I would not expect pretty basketball to be played in the barn on Saturday. But it's not often that Indiana gets to face a team, you know, that is kind of their equal from a shooting perspective. Indiana actually a little bit better. So I think they need to take advantage of that. And obviously Indiana needs to get off to better starts. You know, I mean, Indiana just continues to put itself behind the eight ball, not just in the first halves anymore, but in the second halves too. And I did some research on that this week, and was kind of surprised to see that, you know, through the first half of the season, we were kind of neutralizing our bad first half starts by playing well at the start of second halves. And now we've just been, you know, a disaster at the beginning of both halves. And it's just creating such huge deficits that this team just isn't confident enough and isn't explosive enough offensively or consistent enough offensively to be able to counter. So, you know, whatever that means, whether it's the, you know, the current starters just figuring out a better way to start, or, you know, putting Duran in there and trying to mix things up, Indiana's going to have to find a better way to start. And then I think when you look at what Minnesota does, you know, they try to compensate for their poor shooting by being a team that really crashes the offensive glass and that likes to get to the free throw line. And they're not a great free throw shooting team, but they try to make up for that with volume. So I think for Indiana, you know, defending without fouling, staying out of foul trouble, you know, you're going to give up some offensive rebounds to a guy like Jordan Murphy, but just try not to let them go absolutely crazy and make their second chance opportunities tough. And then you got to make them pay the other way. You know, a lot of teams that are great offensive rebounding teams, they'll give it up in transition. And Minnesota's in the 7th percentile nationally in terms of transition defense. So Indiana needs to take advantage of that and get some easy buckets, because that's been huge for Indiana, a team that struggled in the half court, you know, when they can get out and get in transition. It makes things easier. So if they can do some of those things, you know, they'll have a good chance of getting this win. And, you know, I don't need to tell you or anybody else how important at this point just getting any win would be for Indiana.
Minnesota as a whole, I've got them at 6-8 here in the conference. They're a team that has won some games. You think, that's a pretty good win for Minnesota. And then occasionally they'll lose to someone near the bottom of the conference. And that's been pretty much the story from top to bottom. And it's what's made a lot of the Big Ten games so fun to watch and the conference as a whole so fun to follow this season. Is this Minnesota team, from what you can see and what you read, a NCAA team right now? Are they a bubble team? I would have to think they're either in or close based on where they're at and where they could be.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now they're, you know, a bubble team, kind of, you know, I don't know. I'd have to look and see if they're higher or lower than Indiana. The fact that they're 6-8 in the conference certainly helps. They don't have the high-end wins that Indiana has, but they do have more quantity of wins. And, you know, they're a talented team. I mean, Jordan Murphy is a really good player. Amir Coffey is a really good player. Their freshman, Calciter, is a good shooter. You know, they've got a senior guard in Dupree McBrayer who, you know, is struggling shooting but still is a senior, at least an upperclassman. So, I mean, they've got some pieces. They're just inconsistent, which is kind of what Minnesota has been ever since Richard Pitino has been there. So for them, if they are an NCAA tournament team or if they're going to make the NCAA tournament, then they need to beat a 4-9 Indiana team at home. You know, that's a win that they need to get. And for Indiana, if Indiana fancies itself as a team that can, you know, get on the bubble and maybe get off the bubble and sneak into the NCAA tournament, they've just got to start picking up quantity. And so, you know, this is, even though it's a road game, this projects as one of the more winnable games left on the schedule. And so, you know, if Indiana's going to start any kind of turnaround, it needs to happen here. So, you know, we're seeing that a lot with these games here in February when, you know, two teams in the middle of the pack or below in the Big Ten face each other. It's like it's kind of an elimination game. You know, you know, the team that wins, just like Ohio State on Sunday, you know, that was a really big game. And it, you know, really was important for Ohio State's NCAA tournament chances. And it you know, was a devastating loss for Indiana. And so, you know, Indiana is not going to be able to sustain many more of these and even have a hope of making the NCAA tournament. Some would say it's an unrealistic hope as it is, and those people are probably right. But Indiana can at least keep the hope alive with a win on Saturday.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest. This segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Deron Davis, I've had this discussion a bit, but he really has had an impact in recent games for this IU team after playing sparingly because of an injury. They finally benched him for recovery to get healthy, and that seemed to be a strategy that actually did work for this team because he's come back and probably played as big a role maybe as what he's ever played for IU basketball in his career so far.
Yeah, I mean, Deron has been really good the last three games. I mean, I shudder to think where Indiana would have been these last three games without him. So, you know, it was a really smart move to shut him down, let him get healthy. You know, he's been able to play, you know, roughly 20 minutes a game in these last three games. And he's really become an important facilitator offensively. You know, Indiana struggles to space the floor, you know, just to have enough consistent shooters out there. But one way that they are kind of able to attract the gravity of the defense and open things up, both for layups and for three-pointers, is with a guy like Deron Davis, who attracts so much attention, but is also a really good passer. And so, you know, he's had 13 assists over the last three games. Eight of those assists were for threes. Four of those assists were for dunks. And, you know, again, Indiana has been a team where high efficiency and, you know, high you know, likelihood looks, you know, a dunk, you expect to make a lot of those. Those have been in short supply for Indiana, and Deron has really been able to help facilitate those. Romeo's next on the team over the last three games in assists with nine, and he's played about double the minutes. So the offense has just functioned so much better when he is in the game, and I think any potential turnaround that Indiana might be able to have down the stretch, you know, it's going to come, you know, driven in large part by Deron and how well he can play and how many minutes he can play. Because, you know, I think we all wondered as this season started, you know, how does he fit? You know, a guy who isn't that mobile defensively, you know, kind of a back-to-the-basket post guy, how is he going to fit? And what we've really learned as this season has gone along is that he is integral. I mean, Indiana has played its best basketball when he's been available. So hopefully he can stay healthy. Hopefully he can stay effective. And, you know, really that's one of the things that you hang on to if you continue to hold out hope that this team can salvage something of the season down the stretch.
We're talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. IU basketball at Minnesota Saturday, 2 o'clock is the tip-off. We'll have pregame coverage with Don Fisher and crew at 1 o'clock. And then, of course, Jared and his Assembly Call group will be on following the game, win or lose, with the IU postgame show that we'll pick up here on the Big X Sports Radio, or you can find at Assembly Call. .com. As we head into this final stretch of the season, and I've asked maybe everybody that I've had on our IU guest every day this week this question. I'm not going to change with you. I'm going to lay it out for you as well and see what you have to say. What, in your estimation, Jared Morris, does IU have to do beginning Saturday between now and the Big Ten tournament, or if you want to include the Big Ten tournament in your response, that's fine as well, to become an NCAA tournament team. I think that's the question on everyone's mind is, A, is it still possible? And B, I can't believe we've got Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford on this team, and there's a chance in Indiana, maybe even a good chance, that Indiana's not going to go to the NCAA tournament.
I mean, it's definitely possible. Now, whether it's realistic is, you know, is another question. I think if Indiana can win five of their last seven games, and you know, that would put them at 9 conference wins, that would put them at 18 wins overall. If you do that, you know, you're going to have to beat one of Michigan State, Purdue, Wisconsin, or two of Michigan State, Purdue, Wisconsin, Iowa. So you're going to get a couple more really good wins for your resume if you do that. And because of how weak the bubble is and because of the high-end victories that Indiana has, I think if they can get to 18 wins in the regular season, I think they would have a really good chance of getting in. Now, if you ask me to bet on that or to state the likelihood of it happening, it's really hard to see happening after they've lost 9 out of 10. So, you know, maybe if you can get 4 and then, you know, win a couple in the Big Ten tournament, I'm sure there's some iterations there that would work. But I think that's the number. And if Indiana can get hot and if they can get some wins and if they can, you know, remember how to use Assembly Hall as a home court advantage, you know, those things are still out there. It is not impossible. It is really hard to foresee. Now, that said, back on January 3rd, it would have been really hard to foresee Indiana having a 4-9 record in the conference. So things can change, and balls can start bouncing your way, and guys can get hot and all of those things. So, you know, I think it's perfectly fair to feel like it's unrealistic at this point and, you know, to not be holding your breath for it to happen. But, you know, I mean, certainly, if Indiana can just get one win and then get the next one, you know, maybe you can get the snowball rolling in a positive way and start getting some good momentum toward the end of the season. So if they can do that, I think they've got a shot, but they're going to have to really play a lot differently, a lot better than what we've seen from them recently, if that's going to have any chance of happening.
I want to jump over the Minnesota game, which I know is a dangerous thing to do, but just for a moment, because we won't have you again until next Friday, and it comes pretty quick in the week. Tuesday night, Purdue comes to Assembly Hall, and that obviously has big implications, not just on everything you just mentioned, but rivalry implications as well. Can Indiana compete even at home? Is this a game Indiana can win? I mean, what are your thoughts on – because I think Purdue's been playing fairly well, very well, to be quite honest with you, here in recent weeks, and has got themselves up near the top of the Big Ten Conference and is set for a good finish down the stretch. How do you see Indiana matching up at home with this big rivalry game on the line after Indiana played very poorly and Romeo Langford definitely the worst game of his season when they played the first time out up at Lafayette?
Yeah, I mean, Purdue is really good. There's no question about it, but it's not because Purdue's individual parts and pieces are better than Indiana's. It's because they function so much better as a team. And they have more experience in their system. They have more experience together. And when you watched their execution compared to Indiana's execution, that was the big difference. And the shooting, too. I mean, you know, Ryan Klein had a great shooting night. And obviously Carson Edwards is a terrific player. You know, so they it's not to say that they don't have good parts and pieces. But what really separates those two teams is the execution, and really, frankly, especially in that game, just how hard Purdue played. And you know, not just like on defense, which is where we typically talk about guys playing hard, but when you watch Purdue play offense, they cut hard. You know, they set up screens, and they screen hard. Like, they're just a tough, hard-playing team, which is the identity of Purdue. And right now, Indiana has had trouble with teams like that because we are not that. You know, we are a soft team right now that doesn't have a lot of confidence. So, again, you know, it comes back to, you know, you look at that being a home game, it's like, well, we should have a much better chance at home, but we haven't played well at home, you know, and we haven't done a lot of the things that you need to do to beat a team like Purdue. So, you know, we have the parts and pieces to do it. I think having Deron will help because he can match up with Travion Williams, and that is something that, you know, that was a struggle for Indiana, but he's not going to be able to, you know, guard Matt Harms on the ball screen actions that they killed us with. So, and Indiana's going to have to adjust. They're going to have to execute better. They're going to have to play tougher. But they've got the talent and the ability to do it. You know, and that's been the frustrating thing about this season is, you know, seeing that. And even with the injuries and all the problems, just feeling like on a night-in, night-out basis, this team isn't maximizing what it could be. And maybe we all overestimated what the ceiling of this group was, but you know, no one expected this as a floor. And I think Indiana is and should be better than this. So hopefully they can turn some of those things around. If they don't, then, you know, Purdue is likely to just come in and muscle us around and out-tough us and out-execute us to another victory. But it sure would be great to see Indiana step up and say enough's enough. You know, we're going to protect our home court and do the things necessary to do that.
Along the lines of the Purdue game back at home for this team after the Minnesota game Saturday, you guys talked about this on the most recent edition of the Assembly Call program, that the home court environment that Assembly Call is so storied to be has definitely slipped a little bit, and obviously you can expect that to happen when the team really has a bad month of January and it's not gotten really better in February. Often this team doesn't hustle or play with the energy that you would expect. That's another thing that fans, I know, get very – and we have smart fans, I think, for the most part. Indiana fans and people from Indiana get basketball. They were raised around basketball, cheering for their favorite team or college or high school or whatever it may be. And so I do feel comfortable saying we have very educated fans, and that means they're going to pick up on things more so than the average fan base, perhaps, when things aren't going right or the energy or effort's not there. And bad starts take a lot of momentum out of a building as well. But you guys talked a lot about Assembly Call and the home court advantage and how that hasn't necessarily been the storied environment that it's built up to be this year with how this team's played in conference play.
Yeah, it hasn't been. And, it's such a complicated conversation, and you know, we did like a 12-minute segment on it, and it could have gone on for so much more because there are tons of factors for why the atmosphere in Assembly Hall isn't kind of what it used to be or what people expect it to be. But I think at the end of the day, the most important part of it is always going to be the team on the floor. And you know, I was thinking about this earlier today. You know, when you just think about the recent history of Indiana basketball, there just hasn't been a whole lot of joy. You know, like it hasn't been bringing fans a lot of joy. You know, the 2012 season, obviously, when Indiana beats Kentucky and that whole run and, you know, making the Sweet 16, there was such a joy about that. And then you lead into 2013, and for most of that season, you know, until that team kind of started to feel like they were getting a little bit tired and the pressure kind of built up, you know, that was still, for the most part, just an incredibly joyful season. And since then, we've had, 3 months in 2016, you know, where it's like, okay, this team is playing well, and it's fun to go to these games. And, yeah, there have been, you know, games here or there, but it hasn't been consistent. And that's hard, I think, to maintain a consistently elite atmosphere when, you know, fans are going, but in fewer numbers. And when they do go, they're not quite sure what to expect, and they're not sure if they're going to walk out of the arena being frustrated with their team or, you know, really proud of their team. And that's a hard thing to ask fans to go through game after game, season after season. Now, look, I'm always of the mindset that if you're a fan, you show up and do your part. You know, for us living far away, that's watching on TV and hosting a post-game show and trying to do what we do. And I know that there are so many good, loyal IU fans who go and cheer and, you know, try to support the team as best they can. But, you know, it is not surprising to me that maybe more of the casual fans are staying away because it should be a fun, enthusiastic experience, and the team just hasn't delivered that very much over the last five seasons. It is what it is. And, you know, I feel like these next few seasons are pretty critical for Indiana just as a program because we just haven't created those emotional connections with young fans, with new generations of fans, like we did back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, obviously. Because, again, it's just, you know, the team is different, and there are other societal factors probably that play into that. So I just think we need to get back to Indiana basketball being something that people can count on to be competitive and to bring them joy to watch. And that's just been so inconsistent that I think you're starting to see it with, you know, with some of the turnouts and some of the inconsistencies in the atmospheres that Indiana has. And for all the factors, I think it's always going to start with the team on the floor.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call on this Friday edition of the program. Jared, big, a 4-day stretch coming up at Minnesota and a home game against rival Purdue. Should be a lot of fun. I look forward to being at that Purdue game on Tuesday, and we'll see what this team can put forth. But definitely some opportunity as this team closes the season, but definitely some skepticism as well based on what's happened really since January and into February with this team. So going to be interesting to see how they finish the season, and we'll be talking with you Friday as the season rolls along.
Absolutely. Hey, hopefully we come on here next Friday and Indiana's won two in a row and, you know, things are looking up again.
Absolutely.
Probably not likely, but, you know, I'll hold out hope anyway.
Thank you, Jared. Always great to catch up.
Yep. Thanks, Matt.
All right. We will head to a commercial break. When we come back, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star is with us. We'll talk the pairings coming out on Sunday with Kyle, a little high school basketball. I'm sure we'll get into some recruiting stuff as well. And then at the end of the program, Dugan Ryan, the general manager and owner of the Big X Sports Radio, he will be in studio with me as we make an announcement about something, a new opportunity for Big X listeners. That's coming up here later today on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday edition of the program. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star with us on Fridays. We cover a variety of topics. And, Kyle, you know, with it being Pairings Sunday, the draw comes out for the Boys State Tournament on Sunday evening. We'll have our two-hour special show here in Southern Indiana following the 5-7 pairings announcement. You know we're going to talk about some pairings and what this weekend means and high school basketball as a whole, but I wanted to start with a football topic, actually. And it's something that you wrote about recently at IndyStar.com/sports. Instant replay potentially coming to high school football. The National Federation has voted to allow it. It's a matter, if I understand correctly, will Indiana enforce that or open that up to Indiana high school games? And if so, would it be just the playoff games where there are television crews and the facilities to do so? So a lot of question marks. I'm curious what's going on with that.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk about that a little bit with Bobby Cox the other day. And, you know, basically the idea is for the National Federation has basically said, you know, you can do this as a state association. And, you know, and I don't know if it's necessarily imminent for the IHSAA to do this. And I think they're going to have to survey their members and survey the coaches and see what the appetite is for it. But, you know, I think it's something that down the road, you know, in maybe a state championship type of scenario where, you know, you've got the technology set up with the Fox Sports Indiana cameras, and maybe that's a chance to use it. But I don't know that it's something necessarily that's going to happen right away or maybe at all. But it is, according to the National Federation, now you can do it if you want to. And each state's going to have to make their own decision on that. I think there's been three states, and I know Alabama was one of them, that has kind of you know, used this as a trial run, basically. And you know, so it's on the way, and I wouldn't be surprised at some point if it is implemented, even if it is just a state championship scenario. But I don't get the sense Indiana is going to be, you know, jumping in head first next year and using instant replay. You know, part of the problem is, you know, not all the schools are set up for this. You know, it's not a situation where you can just put it in and everything's going to run perfectly. So it's going to have to be a little bit at a time, if at all. So I think it's maybe something on the horizon, but it is allowed now. So you do have that option, and we'll see. I'm going to talk to more coaches about it and kind of get their sense of what they want to do. But I think it's something that we could see definitely in the next, you know, 5 years or something at some level, I think. Maybe not all the way, you know, not anywhere close to what the NFL or college does, but maybe some sort of a, you know, instant replay at the highest level.
Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star, our guest, definitely would be an interesting. I mean, you hear that call for instant replay whenever there's some sort of crazy ending to a game or a controversial call from the officials. That kind of ties in with me on a basketball side of things for a shot clock. Could there be some benefits to having a shot clock in high school basketball? Absolutely. But is it possible to have a shot clock at every high school? You walk in some facilities and they might have a shot clock there now just in case it's needed for high school down the road, or maybe it's, you know, they, in case they want to have a some sort of other game in their gymnasium, they put it in when they built the gym and put the new goals in, and that's great. But not every high school has that luxury to update an older facility, and then you got to find another, something as simple as a trained worker that knows how to operate it correctly. In addition to having a shot clock or two in the gymnasium. So when you talk about instant replay, when you talk about shot clocks, when you talk about improvements to high school sports, sometimes we put the game first and modernizing things first and forget about some of the behind the scenes, you know, equipment, money, workers, trained workers, so they don't screw things up. I think probably we forget about some of that stuff. So always interesting to hear about some potential modernizations, but also there are some real challenges behind all of them.
Definitely. And I don't think it's, you know, it's each high school is set up differently. And you know, Bobby Cox talked about, when I talked with him about it, you know, and I completely agree. I mean, some of these schools, you know, even if they do have video or they do have a live stream, it's not to the point of where you can go back and the officials can come over like they do in college or the, you know, NBA and or whatever the case may be, NFL, and look at it and get a quick answer. You know, it's just, it's not that simple. You know, so like I said, I mean, I think there are instances, and I forgot about this, Matt, but the high school basketball state finals, and this has been in place for a long time now, like probably a decade or so. You can go over, you know, if there's a shot at the end of a game or the end of overtime, you know, the officials have the opportunity to go back and look at that at the high school basketball state finals. And that's something I knew, but I'd kind of forgotten that you could do. But that's the only situation. You know, you can go back and do that at the regulation, end of regulation, end of overtime. That's it. So I think for something like that, that seems plausible to me. For football, you could do that. You know, and maybe you expand it slightly more to say, you know, I don't know, whatever you want to put in the rules to say you can look at scoring plays, you know, maybe you're just that, you know, or just a play, you know, and then the fourth quarter or say whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. But I think there's enough technology now where you're doing these games on Fox Sports Indiana, and, you know, technology gets better all the time, as we know. I think there can be a situation where you could implement that into the six state finals games. And I don't think you'd lose, you know, you wouldn't lose anything by that. And I don't think it would put any added pressure on the officials. I think that would be a situation. That'd be a situation where everybody wins sort of thing. But for, you know, when you put the words high school sports and instant replay together, it generates a lot of response. I don't necessarily like it. I think there's a human element to the game, to sports in general, that you know, we've kind of lost here in the last 20 years, that not every call needs to be exactly right, and that's just the way it is. Not every player makes every right play. Not every coach makes every right. So officials aren't going to be 100% right either. But I think maybe there is something, you know, we can do in high school sports to utilize the technology to make sure, you know, in those type of games, there isn't going to be a totally blown call and somebody gets the raw end of the deal in that sort of situation. So I don't know. I don't know the right answer necessarily, but I think that you can have a little bit of both.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star, our guest. Kyle, Sunday night, it's hard to believe, that's when we'll find out the pairings for the 2018-19 IHSA Boys Basketball State Tournament. Lots of interest in who's going to play who locally in some of our sectionals down here. Always a lot of interest on the 4A sectional at Seymour. I know that's really a statewide type interest for that sectional. And people really interested with what's going to happen with Silver Creek in 3A. They've got a real opportunity in that class to, if they can get past Brownstown at some point, to make it on into the state tournament. We'll see how far, but the talent to make it for sure. As you come up on Sunday night and the release of the pairings, maybe some storylines you'll be paying attention to. I don't know how much from Southern Indiana strikes your fancy, but anything down here you'll be watching, or across the state you'll be watching on Sunday when those things are announced and flash on all of our computer screens and TV screens across the state with coaches and teams gathered to watch.
Yeah, definitely locally I'll be watching Sectional 10, which is always the sectional of doom, where you've got this year Lawrence Central, Warren Central. You know, and those two, I would say, are the top two out of the top three teams in the state. You could throw Carmel in there as well. And Warren will play Carmel tonight, actually. I'll be at that game. But that will be the one. Also, you throw in Lawrence North and Cathedral. You know, you get basically four teams right there. Lawrence North's not ranked right now, but probably should be. In Cathedral's, I think, seventh. So you got four legit, top 10 teams, and then a couple others in Tech and North Central who are not up to that level. So, when you're talking about a real strong, four out of six teams, the draw can really benefit you or can really put you in a position where you're going to have to win three really tough games. So that's one I'll be watching. Normally that one, it's been years where all six teams have been really good, and maybe the draw doesn't matter quite as much other than having to play three instead of two. But I think this year that one's going to be interesting. There's also a kind of a unique situation this year, Class 3A Sectional 27, where Northwest and Broad Ripple are no longer. They were in the sectional last year, but then the schools closed, and there's only five teams in that sectional now. And that's a really good sectional in 3A. I covered that one last year with Addicts, Brebeuf, Cardinal Ritter is very good this year. Bishop Chittard and Guerin, all five teams are good. I would say Addicts and Brebeuf are legitimate state championship contenders. So in that one, you could have, just two teams playing a play-in game, and then the other three are already in the semifinals. So, that's one that's unique to this year because it's just five teams for this one year, but kind of an unusual situation. And, I'll be looking all over the state, really. There's a lot of, I think in 4A, there's a lot of clear, defined the best teams in this area. And, and there's some real sleepers that based on the draw can kind of benefit or maybe kind of play itself out of maybe being a sleeper because of the draw. So, a lot of interesting things. It's always, I think you'll be watching for, is Warren match up with Lawrence Central right off the bat, or will that be a championship potential matchup? That's one I'll definitely be watching. And then as you go down your way, I think, Silver Creek's one you watch. Unfortunate situation with New Albany this week with Hunter getting hurt, so that's a tough deal. But a lot of good basketball in Southern Indiana, and I'll be watching too. I did a story on Shoals last week, the Jug Rocks, and seeing who they match up with maybe playing Bar Reeve somewhere in that sectional. Hopefully the championship game, that'd be fun for them to make it there and have that shot anyway.
Absolutely. Kyle Neddenrip with the Indianapolis Star, always with us on Fridays. And Kyle will definitely look forward to our chats from here on out because of the tournament, the boys tournament just around the corner. And we'll find out a lot more with the draw coming out on Sunday night. Thanks for the chat today. Enjoy your games this weekend and the pairings on Sunday night. We'll talk, I know, very soon.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Matt.
All right. Kyle Neddenrip, always with us on Fridays, a great voice for our state with high school sports and a lot more. Dugan Ryan is the general manager and owner of the Big X Sports Radio, and we've made a number of announcements on this show over the years, Dugan.
We'll do a lot of news right here.
Absolutely. And we've got an announcement today. The Big X golf card has been something that I think has been very well received and very popular. A lot of people that listen to the show, I know, also buy a card every spring and have enjoyed that. Of course, that will be coming very soon as well. But you're kind of taking that card to another level with one of my favorite things. I'm not a golfer, but I do like pizza. And Doug, I'm not sure we've got the mic on here for Dugan, but do we have the mic on? Okay.
I'm a pizza connoisseur myself, man.
Do we have it on, Doug? Okay, I'm not hearing Dugan. So we're having a Big X Sports Radio, not a golf card, but we're also having a pizza tour card as well.
A pizza tour card. You're absolutely right. We about 2012, I believe it was. We started the. Am I not on, Douglas?
Oh, this one. Okay, This was the one we started on.
He's the owner
it's
of the station.
It's my first time on the air.
You think we could get him a microphone that works?
First time on the air. There's a reason you guys don't let me on much. I don't know how to work this stuff back here, Rusty.
So a Big X Sports Radio pizza tour card is coming.
It's coming. And as you said, the golf cards have been a huge hit since 2012. Our listeners love it. We give a few away on the air. The partnerships with the golf courses have been fantastic. The courses love it. John Ashton does his weekend show out there. And those have been such a huge success. I'm a pizza connoisseur. You're a pizza connoisseur. So I think, how can we reduplicate that and kick them off in March, right before we're kicking off the golf carts? The golf carts will be out probably mid-March, maybe first week of March. But the Indiana version of the pizza tour card is out right now, and it's $150 value, and you can buy them at BigXSportsRadio.com for $59. Boom Boss Tap House, $50 value. Beer Nose Pizza, all three Southern Indiana locations, $50 value. And Serdano's Pizza up in Sellersburg. It's a great little spot up there. We're going to take the Hoosier Report on the road. We're going to do special editions of the Hoosier Report at some of these places. We're going to do a lunchtime edition. Beer Nose and Serdano's both have lunch buffets, so what a better time to come out and do a show from 11 till noon. Have a little pizza buffet. I'm real excited about this, Matt. You can buy yours today for $59 at BigXSportsRadio.com. Just click on pizza card. And once again, the golf cards, we're working with some great golf courses again this year. The golf cards will be out here in about a week and a half, 2 weeks as well.
Dugan Ryan, the owner of the Big X Sports Radio. Again, Big X Pizza Tour Card now available. And those three places he named, I think a lot of people across the area familiar with Berno's and obviously Boom Boss, two of my favorite places. Serdano's, though, up there right by Silver Creek High School. It's a secret, I think, to the area.
It's a secret, and their ad says they cut the pizzas into squares. They say they're squarely the best, and they're one of the best around here, that's for sure. Thanks for having me on, Matt.
Absolutely. It'll be fun to get out to those places. And again, as Dugan said, we'll be taking the Hoosier Report on the road in forthcoming weeks to all of these places and more, and we look forward to that as well. But the Big X Pizza Tour Card now available, BigXSportsRadio.com. It's $150 value for only $59. You can get yours today. And don't forget, supplies is limited. The golf cards have sold out, and we expect that these will go at some point as well. That's going to wrap things up. Back tonight is John Spears. He's got St. X at Floyd Central. And, of course, I'll be with you Sunday for our pairing show from 7 to 9 right here on the Big X Sports Radio.